Passage this morning we found in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be considering verses 5 to 9, but we'll be reading the entire chapter. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's give our diligent attention to this reading of God's holy, infallible, and perfect word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. You may be seated. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us from his holy and infallible word this morning. Let's pray. Lord, as we are gathered, indeed, Father, we seek your face. We plead with you that you would be pleased to speak to us, your people, that you give us ears to hear, to understand, to obey your holy word. Father, that your word would come forth with a demonstration of your spirit and power. In Christ Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. As we continue our exposition here of Ephesians, we need to come now to the last and third of the household codes. Right, we've seen the Apostle Paul explain the relationship in marriage between a husband and wife and the various duties that both husbands and wives have. And then we saw last week the various duties between parents and children and the responsibilities that they have. And today we're going to be looking at slaves and masters, or masters and slaves, and their various responsibilities. And we have to keep in mind here that the context, of course, of all of God's word, and context specifically of Ephesians, and this portion of Ephesians, is what the Apostle Paul says, particularly back in verse 15 of chapter 5. through 21, 15 to 21, he said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled constantly. Be filled with the Spirit." Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You see, and that's the context behind all of these household codes, right? Women will not obey or submit to their husbands if not they're not spiritually induced, right? They're spiritually enabled by God. Because it's not about the man, it's not about the husband in and of himself, but about their duties before God. Right? Because Christ loves them. Christ gave his life for them. They're called to worship him. Of course, they're called to submit to their husband, but the ultimate is Christ. And husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. Right? So it's not this whole, now yes, the church throughout history has has misused, as it were, these wonderful teachings of God's word. But just because the church at times has misused it doesn't mean we can decide to not use it at all. Right? There's no, you know, we tend to have overloaded terminology, patriarchy, right? The patriarch, the men are rulers and the women just have to listen. No, it's not like that at all. Right? Especially when you're supposed to be giving your life for your wife. That doesn't sound like being a tyrant or a dictator, and it's not supposed to be that way. Okay, but they also love their wives as Christ loves the church. And of course, children, even by nature, we understand that children ought to be obedient under the care and nurture of their parents. But of course, in the day and age that we live, right, children rule. Right? Parents need special permission to find out about what their children... No, that's all twisted. Children ought to obey their parents, both of them, the father and the mother. Yes, the father takes the lead as the leader of the house, but it's father and mother. The fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. And of course, parents are not supposed to provoke their children either. So it's not a my way. Similarly as the Heidelberg Catechism that we just read this morning, about what a good work is. Good works are not based on our opinion or about the commandments of men. Right, so parents, we are to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Not in what we say goes, but what God says to all of us. And yes, there's an order. And right, children are under, of course, their parents. Husbands are to be over their wives, and their wives are to submit to their husbands, and all of us submit to Christ. Right? And today we're going to be looking at, as I said, masters and slaves. And we're going to see this morning, God is the Lord of all, who will judge with impartiality. And we're going to look at this under two main points. First, slaves, and then second, masters. So first, slaves. Let's look at verses 5 to 8 again here in Ephesians chapter 6. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Okay, immediately we need to address, right, particularly in our historical context, right? We can't even imagine an idea that the Bible would even countenance that there could be masters and that there could be slaves. All right, Apostle Paul, he is writing in a particular context. First century, right, A.D., in Rome, right, Roman context, okay, and there was much slavery, Slavery was a big part of the fabric of society at this time. Okay, so in other words, slavery was legal at this point in history. Now, what the Bible is not saying is not sanctioning that it was good or that it was something that they should have had done, but that's not what the Apostle Paul is dealing with. He's dealing with the situation as it was. Because we could make a whole big argument about, you know, the way slavery was then compared to our past now, right? What slavery was here in the United States. And of course, we had a big giant war about many of these issues. But the Bible is concerned about us serving God. And just before, as we continue to delve into what the Apostle Paul is saying here in Ephesians, it'd be good for us to see what he also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in regards to all these issues. Starting at verse 20, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freed man. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men in regards to serving men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. So we see there in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul explaining, right, the providence of God. Right, when he wrote this letter, there were slaves and there were masters, and they were both members of the congregations there in Ephesus. And so he has to address, and it was very intimate, as I said, part of society at this time. We also have to remember when the Apostle Paul in Romans 13 talks about being obedient to the government, it wasn't the American democracy that everybody, you know, that we live by good laws. No, it was Rome. The same Rome that had all the slavery, the same Rome that was not godly. Right? At this time in history, it was a wicked pagan nation. Right? In fact, that they stand for unbelievers. Right? Rome and Babylon. Right? The idea of pagans, ungodly. But even there, we're told that we must obey. Okay, so that no matter what, right, God is sovereign. If God is not sovereign, then we don't owe anyone anything. But God is sovereign. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesians at this time, and we have to understand what he is saying. And it's going to even be applicable to us, who by God's grace didn't grow up as slaves. And one of the bigger things about slavery, particularly in that time, it had nothing to do with race. They didn't care what race you were, they would make you a slave. Right? It was conquered peoples or people who were in debt. Anybody could have been enslaved. And of course, slavery was different in many ways. But slavery is slavery, right? Working for nothing, right? Under a master. Right? You might think that's just intolerable. But if God places you there, if God places you there, he places you there for a purpose. And he's the same God who tells you here in Ephesians, who told the Ephesians back then that they were saved by grace through faith and that not of themselves. That they have the Holy Spirit who seals them to the day of redemption. That all of them have the Holy Spirit and that they are to be filled with the Spirit so that they could walk circumspectly, walk wisely. With that background, we look at what the Apostle Paul says to bondservants or to slaves. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. As to Christ. See, the Christian life's not about man's particular desires. The Christian life is about denying yourself, picking up your cross, and following Christ. Thus we see here, although born in God's providence, one of the worst situations in slavery, believers who were slaves were to not live their lives in self-pity or plotting their freedom according to men, according to the flesh, but living even by the enabling of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God, even in such difficult providence. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. Now in the Greek, the word is kurios, Lord. Same word that is used for Lord, for God and for Christ. It's not a different Greek word. But clearly, he's talking about human masters, human lords. But that's why he uses the term according to the flesh. Now, even there, you know, sometimes the term flesh can have more ethical meaning the old person. But here he's not meaning the old person. He's meaning just human, regular human beings who are masters over individuals who are their slaves. He says, those of you bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Right? With fear and trembling. Now, once again, the biblical context here of the word fear, we've already seen it, right? We've already seen here, back in chapter 5, verse 33, it says the wife is, see that the wife, that she respects her husband, is actually the word is fear. But it's used in the sense of respect, not of serving, you know, fearful that they're going to destroy you or hurt you. And it's the same fear that slaves, bond servants, are to have, with fear and trembling. Okay? With fear and trembling. But not certain in a negative sense, but in a fear before God. Of course, in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the same exact terms. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, or singleness of heart, as to Christ. Right, and this terminology of sincerity of heart means, of course, not just the physical heart, but your innermost being, of course, which is the great commandment, right? Deuteronomy 6, chapter 5. We also looked at Deuteronomy in reference to children and parents and children. But in reference to serving God, Deuteronomy 6, 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Right? Servants are to obey their masters with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, with all their heart, soul, and strength, because it's unto the Lord, not unto the master, unto the Lord. And of course, Christ Jesus in Matthew 22, in the summary, the great summary of the Ten Commandments, the two great commandments, uses similar terminology that we see here. Verses 37 to 40, Matthew 22, 37 to 40. And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So slaves are to be obedient to the masters with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Right? The motivation behind this is because it's to Christ. No matter what situation you're in, no matter what, first of all, if God is sovereign, God has placed you there. You didn't happen to get there. It wasn't fate. It wasn't the luck of the straw. It wasn't by, you know, bad luck. God placed you there. God placed you there. See, what's our immediate reaction? How dare God do that? Why did God do that to me? If he loves me, why did he let me be in this situation? He's God! He knows everything. And if you are his child, he speaks to us in his word. He doesn't owe us an answer. He doesn't give us an answer according to our logic. First of all, he's infinite and we're finite. I love the example, of course, I always use it. And I'm going to keep using it as long as I'm preaching. Right? Try to fit all of the sand on any shore, or, you know, any beach, into a little bucket. It's just not going to happen. Right? And, of course, that pales, no pun intended, right, to the reality of God being infinite and us being finite. God is infinite, we're finite. But God has placed us in this situation. What we are responsible for as human beings with wills, because of falling in Adam, right? We're, our will's in bondage when we're in sin. And he gives us renewed wills in Christ. Christ, of course, Christ is our righteousness and our holiness, justification, sanctification, and redemption. Right? With wills, he gives us the ability to obey him in all these situations that he himself has placed us in. This is not what we want to hear, is it? If you were a slave in the first century, what would you want to have heard? Slaves, get your bags ready. You are free to go. That's just not going to happen. It's the absolute opposite. Slaves, guess what? Not only are you going to stay slaves, but you better be happy slaves. You better be faithful slaves. You better be holy slaves. What? Because you're not doing it. It's not because you're not identified. You're not solely just a slave. That's your condition in God's providence. You are a child of God, and you serve him. And you know how you serve him? By obeying his word. By doing every legitimate task that you have, even if the situation may not be ideal or even right, by doing every task that you have as unto the Lord. In sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Now, I've already stated, you know, that this is still applicable to us. And you might say, well, how, Pastor? Now, there are parts of the world, believe it or not, there's slavery still happening. Of course, illegally. Even in America. And, of course, we would seek to stomp that out according to justice. But thankfully, in God's providence, most of us are not in that situation. So how is this applicable to us? Well, they were supposed to act that way as slaves. How ought we to act in all of our legitimate callings? Whether we be students as children, right? Whether we be a sanitation worker, a computer programmer, a scientist, a pastor, whatever profession we have, a legitimate profession we have, we ought to do it as unto the Lord. It's still applicable to us in sincerity of heart. I don't know about any of you, but even as a pastor, which is, of course, my dream occupation, I've wanted to be a pastor since I was a little boy. Of course, I thought I was going to be a millionaire and name it and claim it and have a couple of Mercedes Benz, but I don't have any of that. Okay? But it's still my dream job. You might say, well, how's this, you know, how can, what excuse do we have, right, to treat our legitimate callings as just stepping stones, right? You see, this is the horrendous teaching behind the whole name it and claim it, that God wants you to, they think that God wants you to prosper so you can have a better job. It's more based on the American ideal, the American dream, the pioneer spirit, you know, manifest destiny, as opposed to the scriptures. None of this is in the scriptures. Speaking to the people of God. We ought to be faithful with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. As I said, whether we be students in whatever profession, legitimate profession, that we have. And he continues, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, or slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Actually, the Greek word there would be literally translated soul, from the soul, psyche. But it's the same thing, the innermost person, your innermost being. That we already stated, we are to love God with our innermost being. Right? And we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Not with eye service, as men pleasers. Right? That is a very difficult task. No matter what your profession is, right? We want people to praise us. We want people to like us. You see, and men may not see our hearts, but God sees the heart. God judges. It's not only that God sees, he judges the heart and the motives. Now you see why you have to be in fear and trembling? Not as with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bondservants or slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. See, you could fake part of it, right? You could be an obedient slave in the first century AD, do whatever your master tells you to do, and even do it well. But even your heart has to, but God, who sees the heart, calls you to do it from the heart, not for the for you or for them, but to a service, as a service, excuse me, to him. Wow, who's going to be able to do any of this? We are. Why? Because we have the Spirit. And that's why we're called to be filled with the Spirit, saturated with the Spirit. It's a very difficult task indeed. And in fact, as we continue to go in, God willing, we're going to get into the armor, whole armor of God. You see, that's why we're going to need a whole armor. You just can't do these things. And you won't do these things based upon your own strength or motivation or desire. It has to be spirit born, spirit influenced, spirit led. As many as born of us by the Spirit are led by the Spirit. So he gives both the positive and the negative, right? The positive, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Then the negative, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Then verse 7, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. You see, the only way this is going to happen, the only way you can do this, live a life like this, a spirit-filled life. That's what being filled with the Spirit is about. Not about talking gibberish, sorry. Or not about supposedly doing miracles, but by being obedient in all your calling. And doing it from the heart to God, who sees the heart. That's what filled with the Spirit is about. And guess what? It is an experience. But God does not hate what we consider mundane or boring or everyday. God calls for faithfulness in all of our lives, in all of our time and professions and everything. Because it's God who enables us to hear his voice. As it says here, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, not to men, because you're not supposed to do it for eye service, as men pleasers. Verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. See, we're all going to be judged. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you can't say, well, I was a master and this slave of mine was so late. No, no, no. You're going to answer for yourself. And the slave can't say, well, I was in such a bad predicament. You know, I mean, who's going to want to do this? And I was, you understand, I had a, no, no, no. I told you what to do. Did you hear me? Not only did you hear me, did you obey me? Husbands, were you loving your wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself for her? Wives, were you submitting to your husbands? Children, were you obedient to your parents? Parents and fathers in particular, did you raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, not provoking them? Servants, were you obedient to your masters? And masters, as we're going to see in our second point, did you do right by your servants, knowing that you have a master in heaven to whom you are going to answer? You may never receive, the slaves may have never received any reward from their masters, whether they were Christian or not Christian. But guess what? God sees. What others see or don't even care to see, but don't reward, God rewards. And we have to understand that this is indicative that we as Christians can't try to parse out what we like, right? We like the idea that we're saved by grace, not of works. Hey, I'm saved by grace, not of works, so I don't worry about works. No. You misunderstood. You were saved by grace, not of works, so that you could work. Did you hear me, church? So that you could work. Whatever station, whatever place God has placed you in his sovereign purposes and will. And he will reward you. It's him, it's God rewarding his own gifts. So it's a heavy task placed upon slaves. It's a heavy task placed upon us, even in our callings, where we get paid for it, even if we don't get paid as much as we think we should. Guess what? They got paid nothing. They had no union. There was no strikes. They had to go and be faithful servants to Christ as those who please God and not men. We ought to be faithful in all of our callings, because we seek to please God and not men. Which takes us to our second part, masters. Second point, excuse me. Verse 9, and masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Notice here, he says to the masters, and obviously he's talking to Christian masters, he's talking to all masters, but to Christian masters in particular, because the unbelievers would not seek to obey God's word. But to Christian masters, he says to them, once again, do the same things to them. What are the same things to them? To employ them and to treat them, knowing that what you do is going to be that you're going to answer for before God. So do it in sincerity of heart, with fear and trembling, because you're going to answer to God on how you treated your slaves. With sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not being men pleasers, in particular pleasing themselves, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's a slave or free. And once again, right, these duties that we're supposed to follow God is not predicated on whether the party for whom we are trying to relate to is faithful or not. So I'll restate that in English so that we can all understand what I just try to say. So husbands, you got to love your wives whether your wife submits to you or not. Wives, you got to submit to your wives whether your husbands love you rightly or not. Children, you ought to obey your parents whether they provoke you or not or teach you rightly. Parents, you ought to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord whether they are proving to be obedient or not. And so slaves were to be obedient to their masters, whether their masters were fair or kind or gentle or not. And masters were to be kind and faithful leaders, knowing that they answer to God whether their slaves were faithful or not. Why? Because it's not about men. It's not about man-pleasing, but about God, who sees the heart. Who sees the heart. And that's why it's with fear and trembling, as I stated before. We can fool others. Indeed, we can even fool ourselves. But no one, absolutely no one or nothing, will fool God, who's all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present. Right, and in particular, the Apostle Paul deals with giving up threatening. Giving up threatening. Right. You got to remember, particularly at this time in history, well slavery, even in particularly in Rome, the slaves had no rights. Right. They couldn't. The slave was always wrong. Now, there were already some ethical, even pagans, who were teaching that that people shouldn't treat slaves as animals or anything of that nature. But legally, they had nothing. They had no recourse. Right? So the master could say, well, if you do a great job, I'm going to give you freedom or I'm going to give you some type of reward, and then not give it to him, and the slave had no recourse if the master was a liar. And, of course, using threatening is very persuasive. But can you imagine that there were a lot of slaves who were lazy, who didn't want to? Would you want to do it? Would you want to work for someone else to build their wealth at the expense, literal expense of your own life, and get nothing in return? But God tells them, no, you're not going to be threatening them. No. Knowing that your own master is also in heaven. Your master and theirs. And there is no partiality with him. There's no good old boys club with God. There's no favors. There's no secret society. There's no handshake you're going to give God, and he's let you get away with sins. Women, you can't use your beauty to get out of a ticket with God. Men, you can't bribe the Lord with money. With him, there is no partiality. And this is an important lesson for us even in general. You see, our professions, our state in life that God has, they don't define us. Every human being is created in the image of God, right? Remember, we had a reading in the Old Testament, Genesis 5, and it says that Adam had begot Seth and was in his own image. That language, right, comes in right after the language in Genesis 1 that God created man in his image, male and female, he created them. Our worth is not found in what God has providentially placed us in our situation, in our circumstances. Our worth is found. We're made in the image of God. The ultimate issue is, are you obedient to God or not? Are you a man pleaser or do you seek to please the Lord? Are you a slave to sin or are you a slave to Christ? The slave of Christ is Christ's freedman. Excuse me. Remember what Christ says. He who believes in this, he who has the Son is free indeed. Freed from the curse, the dominion, and the wrath of God for sin. The wages of sin is death. Period. Even one sin. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And God, being the sovereign that he is, of course, as the creator and sustainer of all things, is also the one who tells us, according to his word, how we are to serve him. How we are to serve him. And a superficial service is not enough. It must be from the heart. In sincerity of heart. That we not be men pleasers, but lovers and pleasers of God. And the wonderful thing is that when we love God first with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then and only then can we ever truly love anyone else. Love your neighbor as yourself. But when you're a man pleaser, living according to eye service so that people could praise you or like you, you're not loving them. You're not loving them. But God who judges the heart is the God who tells you to serve him from the heart, is the God who equips us to serve him from the heart by the very Holy Spirit that hovered on the waters when God created all things. The very Holy Spirit that gives us new life, regeneration. Remember, you were dead in your sins and trespasses, but God, the same God is the one who saves you by grace, is the same one who equips you to lead circumspect lives, to do good works that he prepared beforehand for you to walk in them, who gives you that very Spirit and commands you to be filled with him. As we continue, we're going to see the tools that Christ God has given us, the ordinary means of grace, the word, prayer, that God has given us to fill us with his Holy Spirit. Thus, beloved, I want to encourage us all. Let us obey authority. Whatever situation, let us obey authority. Let us obey as unto Christ. Not as men pleasers, but as those who love God in all sincerity. And let us rule those who have authority over others as those who will answer to God. For he is the master, the Lord, the sovereign of all. And it is to him and him alone to whom we answer, with whom there is no partiality, who's an impartial judge. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. May we indeed do all from sincerity of heart and fear and trembling unto you, our Savior, our Creator, our Sustainer, our all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.